I want to jump on board with what was mentioned during the announcements about our upcoming service this next Sunday. Please remember that it is going to be a longer service. It will last a full 2 hours, trust me. It will be a fast 2 hours, though. It'll start at 10 o'clock and go till noon, or thereabouts, and we'll eat immediately following. Good planning on our part to have the women's tea because this last week, because now we've got all the tables all over there to gym already, and we're already set up tables for next week. We left all the soap plants over there. We're just we're gonna just set up the gym, and that's where we'll be having our dinner next week. Planning on our part, worked out good. as far as the service goes, now remember last year I preached the message, so this year the Hmong will be bringing the message. A friend of mine from Crown College who speaks very excellent English and works in a youth ministry in St. Paul will actually be the one who will be bringing the message, and Pastor Newsong will be giving the Hmong translation. I'll be leading some prayer, but since I preached last year, they're going to be bringing the message this year. Also, I would encourage you, if you have a skit like Butch has, he's got a short skit which we really want to share this next week. I'd encourage you to be part of that. If you have a one-person skit or if you have a song, a testimony of Thanksgiving that you want to share, please let me know. We want to take this Thanksgiving service as an opportunity to lift up songs of Thanksgiving, stories of praise, and encourage the entire body of Christ as is represented here at Northbrook and Hmong Community Alliance Church together. So please be part of that in whatever way you can. I'd encourage you to be willing to get up here and sing a song, tell a story, be part of a skit. Okay. I think that's all for my extra comments today. Let's move right on in. I'm going to put our scripture verse up on the screen. If you have a Bible, want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be focusing on verse 12, but I want to read most of the first 16 verses to kind of put that in context. So, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in and all. Then we move down to verse 11. It says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in each love as each part does its work. And then again, verse 12 specifically states, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the opportunity that we have to study it, to learn from it, to live it out in our lives. Lord, we ask right now that You'd send Your Holy Spirit to anoint me for preaching this morning, that I might speak forth Your Word in power and in truth. Lord, to prepare the hearts and minds and hands of each of the people here to receive what You have for them from Your banquet table this day. Lord, we thank You that You have indeed made us the body of which You are the head. We thank You for that privilege. Now, Lord, instruct us on how we can be the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share a story that Bob Perks gives. Is that Bob at BarkPerks.com? A little story that he had from his life. He says he hates spot quizzes. Never liked taking tests, but I passed one without really knowing it. I was in the Navy, based in Newport, Rhode Island. What seemed to be a lifetime ago, we lived about a block away from the famous cliff walks, which take you along the rocky coast and behind some of the most elaborate mansions in the world. I spent many long hours near the ocean. It's my favorite place on earth. It's the only place I know of where you can turn your back on the world. Try it. Stand on the very edge of the water until your peripheral view only permits you to see the ocean in front. It's very refreshing. The feeling you have from the world, with the life behind, sometimes it's overwhelming. But on this particular day, I was about to see the world quite differently. The road I lived on ended at the cliff walks, where famous 40 steps are located. They lead from the edge to the jagged walkway down to the rocks below. A railing at the ends encircles a small platform where visitors stand to see the majesty of the ocean as it smashes against the rocks. The heat and flow of the water rocks one's soul into a gentle state of peace and comfort. Except on stormy days, then, only the brave and foolish would stand there. You could, in fact, climb over the railing on good days and stand or sit on the ledge. Most people didn't. But she did. This young lady, with the world on her shoulders, sat close enough to be seen by anyone standing on the platform, but far enough away to be by herself. The waves that day weren't particularly rough, but on occasion, one would slam against the rocks, spraying her. She never moved. Sometimes the salty mist of the ocean tastes good on one's lips on a hot day, but she was getting soaked. Normally, I would have spent a few minutes there and moved on, but she concerned me. I stayed longer than usual, glancing her way occasionally. The ocean had suddenly calmed down. The rolling water gently lapped against the rocks she was sitting on. It was then that I could hear her crying. There is nothing sadder than to see someone crying alone. I climbed over the railing and walked slowly toward her. Upon my approach, she nervously sat up and wiped her face with the sleeve of her sweatshirt. "Great place to get wet," I said. She didn't reply. "Is everything all right?" I asked. "It should be, but it's not," she said. Keeping a distance between us so as not to make her feel uncomfortable, I spoke to her. The most reassuring words I offered to listen, as she would like to talk about what was wrong. Never revealing the whole story, she told me that she just lost her best friend. She died in an accident somewhere up the coast. It was a horrible ordeal. It would have been her birthday that day. "You know, I've been sitting here for most of the day. No one took the time to check on me. No one said a word to me. I could have been preparing to jump into the ocean, and not one person cared. Except for you," she said. She goes on later, "Tell him that you passed the test." "A test?" I said, "I always hated tests." I said, "I came here today and I wasn't going to leave until somebody came up to me and said, it's okay." The body of Christ is supposed to be walking up to people who are crying and cry with them and tell them it's okay. Go up to people who are having trouble and give a helping hand. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing. Now, who is that body of Christ? Who is it? It's me. It's you. It's all those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That is the only prerequisite. Not whether they are Christian Missionary Alliance, Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, they are the body of Christ. And we are all together, corporately, the body of Christ. So that's who it is. In the passage today, it tells us that He gave some to be apostles, that is, messengers. Some to be prophets, those are those who are called of God, God's mouthpiece, if you would. Some to be evangelists, those are the ones who are supposed to be proclaiming the good news. Some to be pastors, that's the shepherd, the one who takes care of, cares for those. And some to be teachers. You know what all these people were supposed to do? All of them together had one purpose. And that one purpose is to prepare God's people for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up. What do works of service look like? Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Verse 34, following reads, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or clothing, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" Works of service. It's whatever we do for the least of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And also for those who do not yet know Christ, but yet might be called. Whatever we do for others, it's just like doing it for Jesus. And the works of service that God would have us do, we're to be instructed on. These pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists are all supposed to be teaching you and me to do this. They're supposed to be preparing us for works of service. My purpose as a pastor is to prepare you for works of service so that when that opportunity to serve comes before you, you go out to that person sitting on the rock, and you'll cry with them, and you'll say, "It's okay." You'll find that person who needs to be visited, and you'll go visit. Why? Because I prepared you to do that. Because your Sunday school teachers prepared you to do that. You won't be surprised that, oh, I'm supposed to do this? Yes, you are. Well, how do I do it? Hopefully we'll have shown you. Sometimes we'll show you by coming alongside, taking you with. Sometimes we'll show you just by demonstrating, this is what it looks like. But it's our job to prepare you to do those works of service so that when the opportunity presents itself, you will recognize it for such and have the confidence that God has gifted you and empowered you to do that good work of service. Because we don't do them in and of our own strength. We do it through the strength and the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it sins. It's one of the reasons why it's my job to prepare you for those good works of service. Because if you see something, you know you ought to be doing something about it, and you don't, you have sinned. If I haven't prepared you to do something about it, I've sinned. And I haven't prepared you for that opportunity. I have sinned even worse. My sin is compounded. There was a young boy. He was on an errand for his mother. He just bought a dozen eggs. They're a very poor family. And these eggs represented most of the next week's groceries. And he's walking out of the store, he tripped and he fell with the sack. And all the eggs broke. It was a mess. The boy tried not to cry, but it was kind of tough. And a few people gathered around to see if he was okay and to tell him how sorry they were. In the midst of the words of pity, one man handed the boy a quarter. Then he turned to the group and he said, I care 25 cents worth. How much do you care? You see, if we know what good to be done and we don't do it, or if we're able to do more than just say, oh, I'm so sorry, and we don't do it, we've failed. Our purpose statement, vision statement, motto, Butch called it, whatever we're trying to live here as this church is serving our neighbors with Christ's love. We prayed, we fasted, we searched, we said, God, why did you keep the doors of this church open? Why do you want us here? This is a question we asked 5 years ago. And we looked at it again. And we said, why are we here? And we said, to serve our neighbors with Christ's love. Now granted, we are neighbors with each other, but our neighbors are outside these walls too. And as we go, we need to be serving. Sometimes we'll be serving intentionally. We will go forth intentionally. We will seek a need. We will find it and seek to fulfill that need for somebody or some group. Sometimes we will do it just by accident as we walk along through life and we see that young lady crying at the edge of the rocks. We'll say, it's okay. That's being the body of Christ. That's sharing the love of Jesus. See, Jesus went to where the people were. He met them at their need. He didn't wait until the Samaritan woman had changed her ways and got dressed up nice and came up to the temple in Jerusalem. He went to Samaria. Then he went to the well. And he sat there and he waited for her. He sent his disciples off so he'd be alone with her. You don't think he knew she was coming? He did. And he gave her the water that wells up from within, that satisfies. He gave her salvation. When we go to people where they're at, and we just act in a loving manner, and we act Christ-like, when we embody the love and compassion, the mercy and grace of Christ to our friends and neighbors, we are being the body of Christ. And with that, when we do that, our works are not things which we need to be ashamed of, which are not, they're not things which we're doing of our own, for our own purpose, but they're things of which God is pleased with. As the Apostle Paul commends the church in Thessalonica, he says, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." That's being the body of Christ. Let's each one of us seek to be the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn how to be that body. Help us each one to learn how to live it out, how to see those works of service which you have prepared for us and you have prepared us to do. Lord, when we come before those opportunities to serve you and to share your love, may we not be found wanting. Instead, may we fulfill those works out of love, out of faith, and out of hope. The hope that comes from knowing that you indeed are Lord and Savior, and that victory is assured. We thank you for this. Now strengthen us for the task at hand. Open our eyes to see the world with your love and your compassion. Help us to see what we can do next. In Jesus' name, amen.